Yesterday, we were reading in the Bible in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And as we continue with this true story, it will make the most sense to you if you have your Bible open in front of you, or if you follow along the Bible online or on an app, by opening to 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. If you don't have the Bible with you right now, you could re-listen to this podcast later and have the Bible in front of you at that time. I'm going to begin reading in 1 Kings 18, verses 21 to 24 to refresh our memories. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up, and place it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I'll prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people said, "That is a good idea." Elijah, the believer and the prophet of the one true God Elohim, sets up the test that will determine who the real God is. Elijah is saying, "You call on Baal, the false god, to provide fire to burn up your wood pile. Then I'll call on the Lord God, the one true God, to provide fire to burn up my wood pile. Whichever God responds, he is God." And notice what the people said. "That is a good idea." They think this is just great. "We can agree to that, Elijah." And so with the agreement in place, let's read further along in the Bible, and let me pick up the reading in 1 Kings 18, now verses 25 through 26. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put no fire under it." Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from the morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they had made. So the prophets of Baal, since they are greater in number, get to go first. And from morning until lunchtime, they leapt around their pile of wood with the cut ox on top, their altar, and they shouted out, "O Baal, answer us." But there is no response and no answer to this worship and prayer. Verse 26 says, "But there was no voice and no one answered." So thus far, Baal isn't responding. So Elijah, who is standing there watching all of this, speaks up. Look at verse 27. "It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, 'Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied, or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened.' Now Elijah is confident, you see, because he believes there is no other god except the one true God, the Lord God. And so how do the 450 prophets of Baal respond? They try harder. They try a lot harder. Still in 1 Kings 18, I'm now reading verses 28 through 29. "So they cried out with a loud voice and cut themselves, according to their custom, with swords and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention." So they follow their custom. We see this to this day in the worship of many false gods, cutting themselves and crying out and raving right through the afternoon until the time of the evening. But it doesn't work. Listen again to the end of verse 29. "But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention." They are trying harder and harder, but getting the exact same result. No. No, and no, nothing. Baal is silent. And now it is Elijah's turn to call upon the name of the one true God. I'm reading 1 Kings 18, verses 30 through 35 from the Bible. "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Elijah rebuilds the altar of the Lord God that had been torn down because of the worship of Baal. And Elijah then makes a very large trench around this altar. He arranges the wood and puts the cut oxen on the wood. And then not once, but 3 times, he instructs the people to pour water on the burnt offering on the wood. And then he fills the trench with water. Why? Elijah is preparing for a raging, burning fire. Elijah believes with all his heart that the one true God is about to show up and win this contest. And not only will he prove himself as the only God, but he'll do it in a big, spectacular, satisfying way. And sure enough, let's read verses 36 to 39. I'm now reading 1 Kings, verse 36 through 39. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I've done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Whew. Fire. God smoked the oxen. Good thing they had all that water. Look at the end of verse 38. Licked up the water that was in the trench. Elohim wins the contest by far. He smoked the competition. It's not even close. Baal was dead silent. The Lord God spoke, and just look at the response of all the people in verse 39. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Notice the emphasis on all the people. There's no doubt. Look at the posture of the people. They fell on their faces. That's the posture all of us have before Holy God. There's one God and He acts. He responds. He acknowledges that the people had accepted Baal and Asherah to somehow be true gods when indeed they were non-existent and therefore powerless this whole time. All of the worship of Baal and Asherah was worthless, completely meaningless. Elohim is indeed the greatest God of all. Elohim, in Genesis 1, verse 1, proves himself to be the one true God in 1 Kings 18. Elohim is the greatest God of all. My friends, Baal and Asherah never, ever existed. Elohim knows this, and now they know it too, and we know it too. And what the Bible says here about Baal and Asherah must also be said of all the other false gods at that time and since that time. Any god but Elohim is not a god at all, but rather a deity purely of your imagination. God is teaching us through the Bible that only He alone is God and there is no other. To say that God is one and to be convinced that there exists only one God is not a purely theological or impractical idea. This all matters a great deal to life in the real world. We're not just sitting around being philosophical. This matters to you. If you accept that Elohim exists and that he has moved out against the prophets of Baal to demonstrate that only he exists, then this one truth will radically change your life. It means that whatever deity you have been worshiping is non-existent, and therefore it calls into serious question the wisdom and even the sanity of continuing to bow at those altars. To accept that Elohim is the one true, existing God means that you will be required to dismantle your current altars, to break them down, to remove them from your life, to turn then in your worship from the non-existent gods and goddesses, and to turn to the Lord your God, and to worship Elohim alone. He is the greatest God of all. I really want you to accept this and to believe this. I want to invite you today, whoever you are, to turn to the one true, eternal, and everlasting God. What a story. It's a true story. Elohim breathes fire on the altar and proves that he alone is God. God is one. Write to me today and tell me what you think of this. I'd love to hear your response. And then please join me tomorrow as we continue to see that God is one.